From the Word of God, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall be remembered and turned to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, one verse, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only word from the cross that Mark records as he writes to a persecuted church. Psalm 22 is referred to 24 times in the New Testament. The opening words of the psalm have become so familiar to us and so associated with Jesus, so familiar to us from the Aramaic that is written there in Mark's gospel, that we sometimes forget the power of this psalm, not only as it relates to our Lord and Savior, but also as it applies in our lives. And if we read these words as only about Jesus, we ignore the continuing Word of God to us in this psalm and the entirety that it represents. Let me set the scene. The psalmist cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmist feels totally abandoned. As we read through the psalm, we know why he feels this way. Because he remembers the past accomplishments of God's people. He remembers how God over and over again has answered the prayers of his people. There have been times when past reports of miracles and power and demonstration have come, that God has been a very present help in time of trouble. And now in the first 5 verses of this psalm, he's silent. And in the next 6 verses, he fails to act. And so the psalmist calls out, you do not answer. And he's remembering all those other answers as he calls out, you do not answer. And when God does not reply to the psalmist's repeated cries, it's not because he's unable to speak. It's not because God is unaware of what's going on in the psalmist's life. That God could answer and does not answer fuels the psalmist's painful confusion and dismay. He says things like, my groaning, I cry out, I am not silent. And God is completely silent. And the psalmist says, you don't answer. When the ancestors of Israel cried out, God not only heard, but answered and acted. And the psalmist says they were not disappointed, as he is. And the contrast between God's past deliverance and present silence and the absence of the Word of God heightens the psalmist's confusion and pain. So much so that he says, I am a worm and not a man. I'm something that people will squish under their feet with no thought, with no heed. I'm a worm and not a man. And he feels even more desperate, perhaps, than his ancestors did. And yet still, there's no voice from God. There's no word from God. God says nothing. And he feels degraded and reduced below the status of a human being. And the taunts of his enemies, they shoot out the lip. They make faces. They make fun. They hurl insults. And he sees this as the apparent lack of divine concern. And his opponents, he expresses their thoughts in words like, they scorn. They despise, they mock, they insult, they wag their heads in ridicule. And all this just goes on to emphasize the distance between the psalmist and the God to whom he's crying. And the God who has answered in the past and now is silent at his words. And it just grinds it home in the most painful way. And then he says, "You made me trust in you." Well, how's that happen? Because you answered. I've called and you've answered. I've prayed and you've heard. And now, I'm abandoned. I'm deserted. As near as the midwife must be to the child as it's born, as close as a newborn infant must be to his mother's breast, that close, yet that far, the psalmist feels away from God. As close as this, I'm that far away. And he cries out, "Don't be far from me." As trouble closes in and he realizes there's no one to help. And I often read that and insert, "There's no one else to help." There's an awful sense of abandonment which culminates in the vicious attacks by his enemies that go on for 11 verses from 12 to 21. Now that's set up. Let me suggest a practical application. Let me suggest that we share with the psalmist. And suppose that in your life, at this moment, you are praying for yourself, or you're praying for a friend, or for a loved one. You're praying, and you've been praying, and you haven't gotten an answer. Whether it's personal or on behalf of others, what should our conduct be? How should we act in the face of these trials, in the face of these long delays, in the face of these apparent refusals? In the first place, the psalm teaches us that we must not cease to trust God. The psalmist cries out, "Oh my God." He does not say, "Oh my Father." There's a distance that he's experiencing. The spirit of adoption is not there so much. But there's still something he's holding on to. Oh my God. Never be tempted to give up your hold on your only strength, your only hope. Under no conceivable circumstances, ever give place for an instant in the thought, the dark thought, that God is not true and he's not faithful to his promises. Settle that in your mind. God is true. God is faithful. Don't distrust God until you have some proof, some evidence, some reason to do that. And if that doesn't appear, keep trusting. You may not know why he deals so strangely with you, but never think he is being unfaithful for a moment or that he has broken his word. Keep trusting him when you see no reason to keep trusting. In Psalm 62, the poet said, "Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people, and pour out your hearts before him." Secondly, We're never to cease to trust. We are also never to cease to pray. The psalmist said, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear. And in the night seasons I cry, I'm not silent. And so he says, in all time, in all circumstances, in all conditions, I cry. And we should not stop our cries. I know it's one of Satan's chief objects. If he can get us to stop praying, if he can get us to stop calling out to God, he'd defeat us. I remember a preacher years ago who said, if you stopped praying, would it radically change your life? And he said, if your answer is no, why do you bother to pray? We are never to cease praying. As long as we continue to call on the Most High, Satan knows he cannot devour us, even though we may be the weakest of his flock, of the flock of God. And thirdly, never give up hope. The Maori of New Zealand have a word for hope. It's Manawa Ora, which translates literally as the swimming thought. Because when all other thoughts are drowned, hope continues to swim. No matter how long you have swam, keep swimming. One of my favorite movies is a Pixar Disney movie called Finding Nemo. And you know that Nemo, if you've seen it, Nemo, and if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It's a great movie. Nemo disobeys his dad, gets caught by some divers and put in a fish tank. And there's a little blue fish named Dory who's the only one who's seeking to find Nemo. And she is the least capable of finding Nemo. Her memory is very short. You say something to her, and a second later, she's forgotten it all altogether. She's the least one to rescue him, to rescue Nemo. But throughout the movie, she says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. That's what the Maori of New Zealand say when they use the word Manawa Ora, the thought that swims. Just keep swimming. No matter how much you've prayed, no matter how long you've prayed, no matter how many prayers you've prayed, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Never give up hope. In Psalm 43, the writer says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the strength of my life and my portion forever. In Psalm 33, he says, a horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him and those who hope in His mercy. As long as there's a place of prayer, as long as there's a promise of an answer, never give way to despair. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he calls the 400 false prophets of Baal to a showdown. And he prays one prayer, and God opens up heaven and sends fire and consumes the sacrifice and answers in an incredible, dramatic way. 1 Kings chapter 18. And at the end of the chapter, Elijah is praying for rain. Because you see, 3.5 years ago, he had prayed that God would stop up the heavens, that there would be no rain, that the nation would know that God is the Lord and nobody else. And now he's praying for rain. And he sends his servant out and says, go look and see if there's a sign of rain. And the servant comes back and says, no, sir, I don't see anything. Well, Elijah has stood on Mount Carmel and prayed one time, and fire fell. An unusual occurrence, a special thing. But now for water, which is the common gift of the sky, he has to pray again. And he sends out the servant the second time. And the servant comes back and says, there's no sign of rain. And he sends him out the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time. And there's no sign of rain. And Elijah says, go again. The seventh time. And at the seventh time, off in the distance, there appears a cloud like a man's hand. Small, distant, insignificant, but that small cloud was the forerunner of a deluge. And before the next chapter is concluded, Elijah is running through the rain to get to the palace of the wicked king. Believer, go again seven times. Go 70 times seven, because God must keep His promise. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of the Word of God can fail. And Peter writes and says, the grass withers, the flower fades away, but the Word of God endures forever. I like that word, endure. It's not a word that immediately shows strength. It's a word that's, you're just hanging on. You're down to your fingernails, hanging on. And you don't think there's any strength left. It's like the old saying, when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. That's enduring. And he says, the Word of God endures forever. Continue to trust, continue to pray, and never give up hope that the blessing will yet come. And then there's the psalmist's assurance in verses 22 to 31 that are grounded in Yahweh's past history for those who are afflicted. He affirms that God has never despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. Listen to those words again from the message. Here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah, you God worshipers. Give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore Him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down. Never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He's never wandered off to do His own thing. He's been right there listening. Here in this great gathering for worship, I have discovered this praise life. And I'll do what I promised right here in front of the God worshipers, down and outers, sit at the Lord's table and eat their fill. Everyone on the hunt for God is here, praising Him. Live it up from head to toe. Don't ever quit. From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses, are running back to God. Lost families are falling on their faces before Him. God has taken charge. And now He has the last word. All the power mongers are before Him, worshiping. All the poor and powerless too, worshiping. Along with those who never got it together, worshiping. Our children and their children will get in on this as the word is passed along from parent to child. Babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what He says. The psalmist realizes that even when God is most distant and entirely absent from our experience, the ability to praise Him is a testimony to His enduring presence to those who fear Him. And He remains loyal and takes solace in the fact, He may be silent, but I know what He's done. And I know He's never failed, and I know His Word has never ceased. And we pray it at least once a week. We've already prayed it this morning. And we say it in our hearts. Even when you are silent, Father, Thy will be done. And in closing, listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. First from 2 Corinthians 11, and then from 2 Timothy 4. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've been in the deep. In perils often, in journeys often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides these other things. With all of that, what other things? But he says, besides the other things. And then to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever." And back to Psalm 22. He saved me from the lion's mouth. He delivered me from the wild oxen. And the psalmist declares, "You have answered me." He begins this song by saying, "Why have you forsaken me?" And then he rehearses everything he knows. And there's no indication of what he asked for, no indication of its ultimate conclusion. But still he says, "You have answered me." My beloved friends in Jesus Christ, hang on. Even though he's silent, even though you haven't heard, even though it's been so long, that answer's coming. His word says so. Amen.